Parsha opens with Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law, Yisro, this famous non-Jewish spiritual leader who arrives in the desert to join the Jewish people. The truth is that that's a story in and of itself. It's beyond the purview of this morning's class. But the second reading opens after Yisro has become in some way acclimatized to the Jewish people in the new situation, at least according to Rashi. This story, this narrative, is the day after Yom Kippur, which means the day after there was a golden calf and there was a Jewish people who almost didn't make it and they got forgiven. Vayihi Mocharas, chapter 18, verse 13, Sheni, the second reading, it was the next morning. Vayeshev Meisha, Lishbet Asal, Meisha sat to judge the people. Vayamed Ha'om al Meisha, everybody stood, so to speak, on Meisha. Min HaBeker Ad Ha'orev, from the morning until the evening. Rashi does a long commentary on Pasuk Yud Gimel, what exactly that means, when HaBeker Ad Ha'orev, when this happened. For brevity's sake, we're going to go straight to near the end of Pirush Rashi. Not going to study the entire commentary in this verse, when HaBeker Ad Ha'orev, from morning until evening. Rashi says, Efshalei Merkein, is that possible, that Moshe Rabbeinu, they stood from daybreak until sundown? There's stuff to do. So Rashi says, Elo kol dayin shadon din emes la'amitai. The Torah wants to convey to us that a judge who performs his duty with sincerity and he judges in accordance with the principles of Torah, afilu shah achas, even for one moment or 1 hour, ma'ila alav akosov, the scripture considers it ki iloho esig b'teira kol ayin, as if he would have engrossed and immersed himself in Torah all day long. As if he becomes a partner, as it were, to God in the very act of Genesis or creation. It says with regard to the creation, and then it says, so since it says, and here in the Pasuk says that they were stood upon him, so it's like a juxtaposition between the two expressions. So we have an understanding that it's not really min ha-beker ad ha-erev, but this is somewhat euphemistic. Having said that, there are many mafarshim who take this quite literally. Min ha-beker ad ha-erev, that very literally Moshe Rabbeinu was virtually the entire day long. They hardly had any time to do anything else. Okay, so what was Moshe doing really? What was he so involved with? He's involved with the people. But the Ramban says it wasn't just, you're going to soon see, it wasn't just judging. It wasn't just a question of adjudicating disputes. We're really here, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu to daven, they should pray for him, said Rebbe. They came to him that he should give them guidance. If they lost something, they were coming like to a Navi, to a Rebbe. It wasn't just to a rabbi to get, you know, legal advice. At any rate, Yisrei is watching this whole scene, and he has, you know, a little bit of background in the clergy. He saw everything that Moshe is doing, literally to them. He said, "Mo hadavar hazeh asher ata isa. What are you doing, la'am? What are you doing to this nation? Madua ata yeshiv levadecha. Why do you sit alone? V'chol ha'am nitzav alecha. The entire nation stands upon you. Min habeker adarev." So it's a little hard just to say that min habeker adarev is euphemistic, because there has to be an element of a lot of time, or most of the time, because Yisrael saw something. If it was just a Shah Achas, if it was just one moment that Moshe Rabbeinu sat in judgment, and in Maila Alav HaKosov, as if Min HaBeker Ad Ha'erev, then Yisrael wouldn't have what to say. So obviously it does mean, Min HaBeker Ad Ha'erev does mean an inordinate amount of time. He was there for hours and hours and hours, and there's barely time for anything else. Why does the Torah use such an extreme description of Min HaBeker Ad Ha'erev? So Rashi gives you there's a euphemistic reference here. It's referring to more than just the actual time, but it was an enormous amount of time. Rashi did not take it away from the literal meaning. It had to have been an enormous amount of time. And Yisro says, what are you doing? And this is really, so to speak, out of the charts. The Sefarno says, why is it that you alone are dealing with these public matters, and everybody has to stand before you and around you, and they're waiting, literally in line, from morning to night? So Moshe Rabbeinu responds, and he explains to his father-in-law, he says, listen, you have to understand, mm-hmm. They come to seek God. They know that I received the word of Hashem, and this is why Rashi takes the approach, this has been Hamachras, not the day after Yisrael arrives, but this is the day after Matan Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu spent 40 days and 40 nights, and again 40 days and 40 nights, and a third time 40 days and 40 nights, and he received all the essence of all wisdom from God. And because he received this wisdom in a unique way, that's why they came to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he says, that's why they're coming to me. Lidr Shalikim, Rashi says, Ki Yavai. Ki Yavai is not they will come, but rather Rashi explains it means it's dynamic. Kiva, they're coming. Lashon Hoive, this is why they're coming. What are they coming for? Lidr Shalikim, to seek out the word of God. Meaning the seek out God is the word of God. Targume Lemizba Ulpan, they're coming to learn. Lishel Talmud Mipiagvura, they want to learn as if from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how can you learn from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because with Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't colored. There was nothing other than God. It was an unadulterated, pure message. They want the message. They want the real deal. As I mentioned, Ramban says there's more than this. Ramban says they came to Moshe for things that they come to a Rebbe for. So that's why they came. And that's why they're here. And they want to really, Kliyakar adds, they want to really understand the profundity of the law, not just the technicality of the law. They want to know what's behind it. They want the jurisprudence. They want the whole essence. Like Moshe Rabbeinu says, I got that from Hashem, and that's what they're coming to me for. And Moshe Rabbeinu continues to explain to Yisrael, and he says, Ki yilahem davar, when they have something, some issue, boy, lied to come to me, v'shofati ben ish u'ben e'eu, I judge between a person and his neighbor, v'idaiti, and I am able to convey to them, eschukei ho'alekim, the statutes of God, the Esteresov, and his teachings. Ki yilahem davar, Rashi says, it begins plural, yilahem, for them. And then it finishes off, ba elai, ba is not ba'im, but ba. So why does it start off plural and end off singular? The pasuk seems to be a bit of a contradiction. So the answer, Rashi says, is, mishaha yilah hadavar, whoever had this issue, Boilai, he came to me. So in other words, the point is that there are many people who come. What motivates individuals to come? People have issues. When people have issues, they come to me. They become singular. They have issues, the plural. And then they come to me, Moshe says, to resolve their issues. The Kliyakar says that the reason that they're coming to me is ki yilahem davar, bo'elai, he says, euphemistically means when they have an issue, bo'elai, it comes to me. It comes to me, in other words, by means of prophecy. I don't judge like everybody else judge. The inspiration comes to me. The insight comes to me. That's what means bo'elai. That's why it's singular. So Yisrael listens to this whole scene, and he hears what Moshe Rabbeinu says, and he responds. Vayemer chesem Moshe, the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu says, Elov, to him, lo yitayv hadavar asher ata iser. This is no good, he says. This is no good. What's going to happen is Novel Tibo, you're going to get worn out. You're tired at Gamata, Gama Omazer, you and this nation Ashrimach with you. Ki chaved mimcha hadavar. This is too heavy. It's too difficult. It's too challenging. Lo yisuchol asayhu levadecha. You're not going to be able to do this by yourself. It's not going to work. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Vayemer Chesem Moshe, on verse 17, the father-in-law of Moshe said, Derech Kaved Kuroi HaKasuf. Why does the Torah remind us that it's Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law? I mean, we've heard about this guy virtually continuously since we started the Parsha. He was introduced as such. So why do we emphasize that he's Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law? So Rashi says, Derech Kaved Kuroi HaKasuf. The Pasuk refers to him not as a nudnik, not as a person who comes and he sticks his nose into other people's business, a niggling in-law who doesn't let the kids live, but rather the Torah affords him great respect. The father-in-law, Chosen Shal Melech, the father-in-law of the king, he was Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. So it's not. They don't look down at him, so to speak. And what does he say? He says Novel Tibo. Rashi says, if you look in Unkelus Kitargume, look in Unkelus. Unkelus says that the word Novel Tibo, Unkelus says Mila Tilea. Just as the word Leos comes from tiredness, you'll get tired out. Vilashenai Lashon Kamisha. It comes from the term which means to get dried out. Like we know that when you have vegetables or fruit, they get dried out. We have this halacha about an esrog that's dried out. Esrog is called esrog kamush. So this is really what it means. Novel tibul means you'll get withered. Kemoi, for example, Vehele Novil. This is in the prophecies that Yirmiyahu leveled against the Jewish people and telling them about the Paranis of Yerushalayim. And he says there'll be no fruit left on the trees. And even the leaves will wither and dry out. Another example is Kinvel Ola Migefen. And this is a nevuah of Paranias, not directed against the Jewish people, rather a nevuah of misfortune, a prophecy of bad things to happen to the nations. And it says over there that the vineyards will all dry out. There'll be nothing left. And they will be actually like dried out, just as leaves dry off of a vineyard, and the vineyard is brittle. So too, all the nations, they seem now so supple and full of life, but in the end, everybody will dry out. Shu kamush ayidechama, that it becomes totally vapid, drained, withered, dried through the heat of the sun. Or vayidekerach, sometimes through great cold, the deep freeze. Vekoichay tash vanilla. What happens is that these things are full of energy, they're hydrated and supple and healthy, and eventually they get all dried out. There's nothing left. This is what Yisrael says. You're going to get dried out. Gam ata, you. And what's gam? Gam is to include l'rabes, Aaron, v'chur, v'shiv, miskenim. The leadership around you, Aaron and Chur, was Miriam's son. And the shiv, miskenim, the 70 elders, were all trying to assist you. You're taking something which is just, it's impossible. You're not able to maintain this pace. Everybody's going to get dried out. Everybody get tired out. In the end, it'll be good for nobody. Ki chavid m'cha, this is too hard. This is beyond what you're able to do, Yisrael says. And because this is what you're beyond able to do, here I'm going to give you some advice. And Yisrael gives some basic advice. He says, you got to delegate. You got to divide up the leadership. Everybody's got to play a role. And in doing so, things will work out just fine for you. The Ohr HaChaim, when his commentary, he says that Unkelus's verbiage of Leos means that something gets dried out to the point that there is no moisture whatsoever. Not that you're going to be tired. A person can be tired and still function. Unkelus renders it, there'll be nothing left, no koyach left. Dried out to the point that it isn't anymore. That you'd be dead, you'd be finished. Rabbi Natam says that it comes from the terminology of old age. He says, old age will come on you very quickly. You're going to get old very fast. And when you get old, you're not going to have your koyach. You're not going to be able. Moshe Rabbeinu, by the way, is 81 years old, but that's still young those days. Says you're going to get old very fast, and you're not going to be able to do this, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Not you, not your bezdin. As the Sephardim says, the whole bezdin will be overwhelmed. And the Ohr HaChaim says like this: even if you're going to say that you have lots of koyach, and you're Meshe Rabbeinu is amazing. Meshe Rabbeinu, he could do everything. So even if that's the case, the Jewish people will get tired out. They're not going to keep up with this pace. You think they're going to be able to stand from morning to night to wait online all day? At some point, they're just going to get withered and dried, and this whole scene is not going to work. And because it's not going to work, you must delegate. Moshe Rabbeinu says, let me ask God, and God says, good idea. And so Moshe Rabbeinu establishes delegation, and that's the end of the Yisrael story, and after this, we move into the story of Matan Torah. Because the chronology of Torah is not in order necessarily, so then we go back to the original events. So here's the big question. No, you asked me the big question. Moshe Rabbeinu is a smart man.
Why didn't he know what to do?
He didn't know what to do. He needed Yisrael. He needed the Pope to come and tell the rabbi how to be a rabbi. What happened over here? Delegation is like common sense. Everybody knows you have to delegate. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu know to do that? So actually, the Mefarshim all expressed this on page Nunches. Join us in the Buren book that ever brings down that the Mefarshim are astonished here. Abarbanel and so many others. How did Moshe Rabbeinu not realize himself that he was assuming a pace that was impossible to maintain? He can't do it. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know himself. Every person knows. You know when you're adopted a pace that's just too intense. It's not going to work. That in the end you're going to be dried out. Nothing left. Gamata, gamamaza. Everybody will be dried out. Why did Moshe know? So true, regular people don't know. Regular people, but Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu should know. Regular person's not going to know. People take upon themselves things they can't do, and they end up crashing. That's a fairly common occurrence. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he should have known. He would have known. Why wouldn't Moshe think like Yisrael didn't come up with some ingenious solution? Delegation. It's basic. It's not like it's a, such a brilliant idea. What an amazing concept. Delegation. Delegation. Give people jobs to do. What's why is that so hard to figure out? Leman is shaved in this often to appoint other judges. She said, you will be other. They should help him. Like, Moshe Rabbeinu knows that not everything requires his aptitude and his creativity, his insight, even his level of prophecy. There's things that regular people can handle. So let them handle it. Let them do it. There are many explanations to this question. This is our Rebbe's explanation. I guess, like you would say, our generation's Torah. And really, I'm a chassid, so obviously, I think this is the most amazing explanation. This is absolutely fundamental to understanding. You can't, once you have this explanation, everything is different. This is unbelievable. The Rebbe says like this. Everybody explains how it is. The Rebbe says, no, it's not how it is. Ein lefarash esan yin kipshute. Do not explain this as is, which is shehoyah bekeches or Moshe lishbeit. Moshe really couldn't do it, like the pasuk says. And the question only is, so what was he thinking? So everybody explains, what was he thinking? The Rebbe says, no. Do not make that mistake. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do this. Yes, he could do it. From Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe could do this. Yeah, he could. The truth is, Moshe Rabbeinu required absolutely no help, no assistance. Now, you'll say that Rebbe is saying a very big thing here. Rebbe is saying a new approach. The Mefarshim don't say it. It's not true. Rashi actually does allude to this. Rashi, later on, in the beginning of the fifth book of the Torah, the book of Dvarim, he says, and this is a quote, Efsher, it's in the bottom of the footnote here, Efsher shlehoye Moshe yachal adon es Yisrael. Moshe couldn't judge all the Jewish people. Adam shahitziyam mimitzayim, a person who single-handedly took them out of Egypt. Karel hamasayim, divided the sea, split the sea open. Heri daman, brought down the man. Heges aslav, brought down the quail. Lehoye yachal adonim. He couldn't do this. Rashi himself says he couldn't do it. Rashi himself alludes to this, that of course he could do it. So, well, if he could do it, then why did he agree to Yisrael? If that's the case, if Moshe Rabbeinu could do it, so then the question becomes going the other way. So then how do you explain the narrative? Yisrael gives advice. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're making sense. Let me ask God. Okay, fine. God said it right. If Moshe Rabbeinu could do it, why is Yisrael right? It's Lefadish. So the explanation is like this. The truth is that Moshe Rabbeinu, me'achar shehu kibla sateira, since he received the Torah p'nei agudah from the mouth of the might, quotation mark, that's the euphemism that's used. Roi hoyo sheyilmid is b'nei so. It was actually not only he could, he should. Everybody should learn the Torah from Moshe, because that's as close to God as you're going to get. And if you're hearing it from Moshe, it's like you're hearing it from God, as I explained in detail on Shabbos. But the whole idea is Moshe is this pure, clear diffusion. You want real clear Torah? Real clear Torah is only from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's impossible to be colored in any way, shape, or form. It's as close to the source as is humanly possible for us to get. Of course he should be the one. He who received the Torah on this high level, Moshe Rabbeinu should be the one to convey it to all of Am Yisrael. Why should any Jew be left out? U'b'loshon Chassidus, to paraphrase from the language that Chassidus employs, this is found in Likutei Torah and Parshas Veschanan and many other places. Moshe Rabbeinu kibul es haTorah MaKadosh Baruch Hu b'dargas ri'iya. Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from God in the level of seeing. And because he received it in the level of seeing, you're able to see what would take you a long time to understand if you had to read it in a book or if you had to hear it from somebody. So what takes hours and hours to describe, you see in 1 second. You saw it. So when you see it, you have perfect clarity. It doesn't have to be explained to you. You don't have to be described to you. You see it. Moshe Rabbeinu received it on that level. And the truth is that this is what's going to be in the future, where Mashiach will come, it says. That Mashiach will teach us in the Torah. In one moment, we'll be able to understand things, how our eyes will open, and we'll see these things. And what took us years to learn, when Mashiach will come, the Friedrich Rebbe explains in a Maimer, will happen like that. Why? The lights will be on. We'll see it. Imagine describing to somebody some panorama, some extraordinary picture, and then somebody seeing it. It takes a moment to see it. It takes hours, it takes weeks to describe it. When you see it, you get clarity. So Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah on that level. V'lachein, therefore, ratza shegam b'nei Yisrael likablu menas haTorah b'darga zu. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted the Jewish people to get the same Torah he got, he wanted them to have also. he got re'ia, he got seeing, they should get seeing. They should have it the same way. Which is nihilus yesa midargis hashmiya, much loftier than the level of hearing. Okay, so that's number one. So the first thing that I've established here is that really Moshe Rabbeinu could do this. Not only could do this, he should do this. It's the right thing to do. They should hear it from Moshe Rabbeinu. They shouldn't be hearing it from somebody else. Because this way the clarity of Torah will be absolute. Now the Rebbe says, Yisrei, his words are also not literal. Yisrei understood this too. He's a very smart man, very insightful, intuitive person. But his words, Le'yisyachso efe li'yicholte shel Moshe, he wasn't referring to Moshe's ability. He knew that Moshe's ability is beyond. He understood. He understood that Chassidim should hear it from the Rebbe. He understood that. Elo, his worry was Le'yicholtem shel Bnei Yisrael. He didn't worry about the Rebbe, he worried about the Chassidim. He didn't worry about the leader, he worried about the people. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu can give the Torah on that Madrega. Could the people hear it? Will they not be overwhelmed? Will their systems not shut down because it's too intense? That was his concern. Yisrei Tan, Yisrei said, Kasher anoshim boyon lamed lemishpat, when people come because they have an issue, they have a dispute, hanigeli eskeim, which is something that they have a personal issue, an axe to grind, an agenda, a vendetta that they're involved with, that places them at the polar opposite of the spectrum, as far away from Moshe as possible, because Moshe was selfless, transparent, didn't color anything with any agendas. And these people were entirely agenda-driven. Somebody who's entirely selfish, entirely all about me and agenda-driven, how will they ever be able to hear Torah, which is agenda-less and selfless? It's the polar opposite. They're not going to be meeting. It's simply like, you know, like ships in the night. Across, they're not going to even encounter each other. They're not going to be able to receive, to understand, to appreciate the level of Torah on this lofty concept as Moshe Rabbeinu knows it. Okay, so Yisrael has a very interesting theory over here. He says Moshe could do it. I get that. The people can't do it. And he has a logical reason why. Because the whole essence of Moshe is described by, like it says elsewhere in the parasha of Anachnu Ma, Moshe says, what are we? Moshe says, there is no Moshe. There is no Moshe. That's why you can believe in Moshe. It's not a contradiction to believing in God, because Moshe is transparent. When you believe in Moshe, you're just believing in God. Moshe is just there as Mamutza HaMachaber. He's the nexus that connects. He connects you to the source. He's not Mamutza HaMafsik. He's not an independent entity that has its own unique flavor, color, and style, and contour that somehow drives a wedge between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's one and the same. It's inseparable. And on that level where Moshe is one extreme, the extreme height of a Yid's closeness to Hashem, of cleaving to Hashem, and the people are in the polar opposite. They're entirely agenda-driven. It's all about the me factor. So this is Yisrael's taina is a good taina. Yisrael says it's not going to work. Moshe Rabbeinu is not concerned with it. Why not? Was he not practical? Did he not understand the people? And if he wouldn't understand the people, he wouldn't be a real Rebbe. He has to understand the people who he's ministering to. So the Rebbe says, "Hu yoda, he knew well, shergam in bali hadin kishel atzmam, that even if these bali hadin, the people who the disputants came, and they're aimed in bedagan chusu yesa, they stand now at a very low ebb in their spiritual development. It's not. There's no selflessness. It's all selfish. But b'shashem aimed in lefanav, when a yid stands in front of a Rebbe, when a yid stands in front of a Moshe Rabbeinu, yesh b'keichei lahalei solereimim meisam ledagosei shalei. Then the tzaddik, by the force of his spiritual charisma, could elevate this person onto a higher level. Kach so, sheyuchlu lil meidu l'kabel es ha-teira, so that he or she might be able to actually receive teira. Mibli sheyi et tzedech l'man ha-sheitim esafim. Moshe Rabbeinu explained to Yisrael, I can do this. I can elevate the people. You're right, from there, the way they are, it can't work. But I can elevate them. And if I elevate them, then it will work. So if so, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu agree with Yisrael? If Moshe Rabbeinu, if a Rebbe could elevate people, that they should be on the level of the Madrega, they should receive Torah of Yiriyah. So why did Hashem say he's right? Lamrei Zeis, despite this whole very, very nuanced and subtle the argument and logic behind it all. Hiskam HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'atzas Yisrael. God does agree with Yisrael. Why? V'heidu L'Meisha. He did instruct Meisha L'Bana Sheftim Yisrael to appoint additional judges to delegate She'yishpetu as Yisrael, that they too should judge Israel. Lo'y Mishum Sh'lei Ho'yeze B'keicha Sh'l Meisha Ba'atzmei. Not because Meisha couldn't do this. Meisha could do it. Moshe Rabbeinu was focused on the now. And God says we have to focus on the tomorrow, on the future. Not every generation will have a Moshe Rabbeinu. In La'achel Shabnei Yisrael Yukonsul Oretz, once the Jewish people go into the land, Moshe will no longer be with them. They will have to learn the Torah from his disciples and the disciples of his disciples. The great leaders, Torah leaders of every generation. It won't be like Moshe. Moshe could indeed elevate the people. But who says that could be replicated in the future? So Moshe didn't know this. So the Rebbe adds in a footnote, the truth is, if not for the chet of the averis of the Jewish people, not for their refusal to go into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu would have led the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael. And if he would have led the Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach would have come. That would have been over. So Moshe Rabbeinu actually had it right because of what he knew. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately had to look into the future that Moshe Rabbeinu would not come to Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people would sin and they would remain behind. And as such, this guarantees the transmission of Torah for the future.
How did Yisrael know the future?
Yisrael didn't. Yisrael Taka was wrong. In the end, Yisrael really was wrong. Yisrael looked at it, he wasn't a chassid, he didn't understand. He understood what a Rebbe is, but didn't understand that the Rebbe, or the effect of a Rebbe. He didn't understand Moshe Rabbeinu could elevate the people. He looked at it only from a perspective of logic. He didn't understand the spiritual power of Moshe Rabbeinu to elevate the Neshamas Yisrael. But the truth is, he was wrong. He was wrong about Moshe, but he was not wrong about the future.
Why was it him that brought up this?
Why was it him? That's already another whole story. This goes back to something that the Zohar says, that the Torah can only be given after Yisrael came. Yisrael represents the transformation of the Mata, of the lower level, of world. That world melds and mends itself to receive the Torah. And ultimately, you see, when Moshe Rabbeinu elevates a Yid, the Yid's elevated, but artificially. If he was only elevated because he was standing in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, he was never really elevated. But if this can work for the future, then it's transformative.
Free will.
And Yisrael represents that whole union of the lower level transforming itself.
You indicated before that Moshe knew that he had to pass on.
Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he had to pass on.
It's a delegate.
The question was, he should have known that he had to delegate, yeah. Right? Why didn't he know? Why didn't he need Yisrael to tell him this? And ultimately, even after Yisrael's logic, Moshe Rabbeinu still doesn't accept it. He's humble enough to say, let me ask Hashem. From my perspective, I don't see it that way, but let me ask Hashem. And Hashem says yes, but the way we're explaining it is not because Moshe was wrong, it's because Moshe was looking at it from his perspective, as he could have, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu worried about the future.